dead.
Why, hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Craft Beer is Dead. I am one of your hosts, Bree the Pint-Sized Traveler, accompanied by...
I am Chris Face.
Hi, that'd Chris be me. Face. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. It's a good day. If we're going into it, I had a really long brew day yesterday, so it's nice to just not be sweating through my clothes. It's pretty great.
Are you happy it's not 5 15-hour brew days in a row like you had to do on the old system?
Yeah, yesterday was awful, but also at the same time, like, that used to be every brew day. So yeah, it's nice just being like, wow, you know, it could be a lot worse. So.
Yeah, God bless everyone that still has to manually shovel out their grain. So
yeah,
keep
we
on
see
trucking.
Yeah.
We see you.
Do you, man.
Cheers
or
to you.
Woman.
So you want to jump right into our beer before we hop into some news?
Always.
Yeah.
What you got?
We got some rainbows, and I'm not just saying that with a lisp or a speech impediment. Like
rainbows.
I thought Doug had. Rainbows is from Lil Beaver Brewery. They were nice enough to send a really fun, cool care package full of really cool, clever, punny cans. A lot of like Lord of the Rings, Stranger Things, a lot of really funny Peach Ring inspired stuff.
That is pretty fun. I want to do a Stranger Things beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, they just came out 2022. They're coming out the new season. It's not even this year.
I know, but
I'm fucking pissed.
Anyway. I feel like it's one of those things that's always so self-containing with that. Anyway, beer.
I know.
Let's talk about the beer.
I know.
I'll tell you what.
Fine.
While you're pouring those, Rainbows from Little Beaver Brewery. They are out of Bloomington, Illinois. So this is a hazy pale ale brewed with Citra, Cascade, and Mosaic hops. I'm not entirely sure on the ABV as I'm stretching across to grab it.
I know. We always do this. Let me see if I can find it on here. If I don't find it super fast, I do not see it. So let's try it.
All right. Cheers. Clink, clink. While she's trying that out, if you're ever in the Bloomington area, you can also find their Alien Beehive, double IPA. Their Citraic and the Nipah seems to be a very heavy influence on the hazies, but also at the same time, that's what you guys are all drinking anyway. So let's be honest.
Wow, it's really sweet, really smooth. I mean, really, really smooth. I couldn't even take a crack at the ABV. Obviously, if it's higher, I'll be even more impressed, but that's just wicked smooth.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. Right? I mean, it's like, honestly, if you've been listening long enough, I feel like all we ever try is just hazies and sours. But hey, send us some different stuff or maybe like make some different stuff because that's basically what everyone's drinking these days.
It says support your local beaver on it, on the state. And then I do love this part on the can. It says in the area, ? We have a full restaurant and patio. That's pretty clever.
That's pretty fun.
That's pretty clever.
Oh, yeah. So in the term of clever, I feel like you had a story that you wanted to talk about that wasn't maybe not so
not
clever.
Not the most clever idea of a business. Well, we brought them up a few times, but this is kind of... more shining through. McKellar, they came out with some commercials, evidently. Now there's been a full compilation of them from going back all the way from 2013, I think some of them started. Rap Magnet, Brienne, she posted these. Thank God she did, because she posted them right in order too, to just get you like peak pissed off by the time you were finished watching her stories. I had Chris listen to them, you know, whenever this would be for you guys. And yeah, so I mean, what did you think about some of them?
So I think we need to talk about, like, if you haven't seen the specific commercial, right? And I'd like to find out when this one specifically was released, right?
Yeah.
To set the scene, there's a McKellar van full of beer driving down the road and it stops, right? And so this group of guys comes running up and I guess they want to steal the beer or whatever the hell else is happening. But they basically open the side and they go to take a case and a big... I'm going to go overweight, burly, bald guy, kicks a bunch of empty boxes out of the way and then proceeds to beat that man to death with a
literally
tomahawk.
Murdered him, like actually murdered him. And then they said, what, McKellar's nothing to fuck with or something?
Well, hold on, we're not done yet. there's like a good 10 seconds of him just bludgeoning this person from his angle. So he's just being spattered in blood.
I mean, long time.
Yeah, it's like a little overdone. Turns it around, hits him with the handle, goes to walk away, goes, wait, and then comes back, hits him again. More blood. Meanwhile, the driver is twisting his mustache or whatever the fuck he's doing as the other man who is attempting to steal beer runs away, only for him to shoot him in the back as he runs. And as they both get in the van to go away, they run over the guy that he shot.
I shorten it up because I couldn't have come up with that much detail, and I've watched it 3 times. How you were able to just remember and recall all of that was pretty impressive.
Miss Rasmussen in first grade told me I have a photographic memory.
I was like, a lot of detail. I don't even remember that. And I was very mad watching it.
Why I remember it is because like I'm watching it. It's like, what the fuck?
I mean, it stands out. Yeah.
Like, what is this? Why would they do this?
I just walk up to Chris, hand him my phone. I'm like, watch this whole thing and just slide through all of them.
And then so as a burly man who obviously doesn't have so much physical ability to get back into the van with the Gracie jumped out, gets into the van and drives away with guy who shot other guy and runs over guy. It just pans out. It says, McKellar, you only fuck with us once.
Yes. And that, to me, comes off like a little double meaning to it, because it's like, yeah, they're kind of trying to underline like, oh, you steal our beer or do something like that. I look at it as anyone who speaks out against us, anyone who has anything, you know, poor to say about us, like, don't fuck with McKellar kind of thing. Like, that to me was like a broader threat than I think just like, don't steal our beer.
Okay. So after I watched it, like, you walked off, you went somewhere else, right? And I just didn't have a chance to talk to you about it. And I'm glad I didn't, because now I can.
Yeah.
It very much was like, after I watched it, I was like, what the fuck was this for? Like,
yeah, seriously.
It's like a weird nerdy flex of some tiny puny person who goes, oh yeah, well, I'll make a video about me killing you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even understand, like,
the whole premises of it was never said.
Yeah. Like, even if, okay, let's take it into two different realms. One, let's talk about whether or not it's somebody speaking out against them for all the allegations and all that kind of aspect.
Which that came out years ago. Yeah. That wasn't, that one
even
didn't just
we
come out.
Explore that avenue. Mm-hmm.
I wish maybe those allegations did come out then. Never mind.
Yeah. Even if we explore that avenue, like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? It's like a weird, nerdy, passive aggressive way to deal with a problem. Or maybe they had beer stolen from a van. Also not worth a big portly man jumping out and
murdering someone.
Somebody with a fucking axe and is covered in blood, only to like knock on the window and let the driver know, oh, don't worry, I killed him, he's good.
Don't worry.
So either way, I don't know, maybe a little much. I don't know. It's a good thing. It's funny too, because like with McKellar, you know, nothing disrespectful towards him. It's like you see them everywhere. It's not like they're killing it in the game with anything. They just make the same shit over and over.
Fuck you, McKellar. That was not... Take that aside. And then there's a video. Then there's an entire news article, like an entire interview conducted by a news station that called them out. There's over 300 counts of alleged sexual harassment from McKellar. 300! That's a fucking lot of people.
Yeah, they made a movie about 300 people once. So that's enough to at least garner that sort of attention.
So that, take that. So that whole news article thing. And then there was, they didn't win an award, evidently, not too long ago. And so it was the owner of McKellar, one of the owners. And then it was this video, the shoddy video is clearly someone that works for McKellar. He was speaking to the whole room full of people. And you could definitely tell it was supposed to be like a hush hush. I'm saying this to you guys, like, because I kind of trust you guys. You work for me. And so basically he's talking about why they didn't win this competition, and it was because there was a lesbian on the panel.
Oh no, so that was Brewdog.
So Brewdog and McKellar were in, sorry, she was talking about both of them like in the same context, because there was four videos that came out and they were about Brewdog and McKellar. My bad. But
no,
still,
no, it's all,
so all of that, both of them are resurfacing evidently and major more shit coming out.
No, and I did see that one too, and I forget what the guy's name is. It's a little bald, skinny Scottish dude from BrewDog. And it's cringeworthy too, because while he's explaining why they didn't win this thing, because there was a feminist on the panel.
Lesbian feminist.
Oh, a lesbian feminist. Yes. And as they're introducing it, it's just like, she's a feminist. Everyone in the fucking crowd. Well, she's also a lesbian feminist. All this fucking bullshit. And it's just like this weird kind of thing of just let everyone just ask their questions. Let everyone present their argument. Like, you are there to possibly win an award. She's on the panel for a fucking reason.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of not getting it, you think it's funny to just shit on the person who actually decides whether you get it. And then you didn't. So it's just easier to be like, oh, well, we didn't get it because she's just so crazy.
Like, and because she called him out too during the whole thing. Like, evidently she said, spoke out loud and was like, how can you even stand up there and blah, blah, blah after all these allegations and this and that. So, I mean, good for whoever that is. I don't know who that woman is, but good for her, because there must have been a lot of people there and she's sitting up there and it just boiled over and she's like, you know what? Fuck this. This is my opportunity. And she took it.
It's just kind of cringeworthy because, like, you watch that and it's this mindset of like, oh, I guess we'll take them seriously for their question.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Like, it's, I don't know.
So also having to do with Brienne, Rap Magna on Instagram, she also started Brave Noise Beer, which is going to be another global brew collaboration.
Sweet.
So remember, you know, Black is Beautiful, and what was the other one that we did?
So we did, oh God, it was the other half.
I know.
It was the one for
World
Service.
Something, it was.
Oh, God damn it.
I know.
It was literally a year ago.
I know, literally. But anyway, so
all together, I think it was.
Yes, yeah, good. Those.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because I was like, God damn it, we fucking can't remember this. This one is called Brave Noise. So you can find them under Brave Noise Beer. So it is a pale ale that everyone is brewing, advocating for a safe and discrimination-free beer industry. So that's pretty awesome. Those always go over pretty well too, and everyone can kind of do their own thing on it, which is awesome. So highly recommend. I think she even put out there, it's not just, you know, for big breweries or anything like that. As a home brewer, as, you know, anyone can participate in that, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm looking on the website. It is bravenoisebeer.com. Couple of easy steps. So step one, fill out a form. Includes a link to, like, your code of conduct for your company. Brew Brave Noise Pale Ale and publish a code of conduct for staff and customers upon its release. Make a donation to a relevant charitable or nonprofit organization as step three. And then step four, make a commitment to change.
Yep. So,
yeah, I don't see why you wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's pretty awesome and should catch on pretty well. But just in case you haven't heard about it yet, definitely keep on the lookout for that and try to see how many you can try.
For sure. Speaking of interesting things going on, you actually brought it up. Do you want to intro this one, and then I'll just kind of go into the details of it?
I don't know. What is it?
Well, so there's a... Have you ever had Pepsi? You know where I'm going with it.
Of course I fucking know where you're all going with it, Chris.
Go and do it up. Jesus. Why not? See what happens.
Boston Beer Co. and PepsiCo are...
You gotta open your mouth. They can't hear you if you don't literate your syllables.
Fine. Boston Beer Co. and PepsiCo are evidently partnering to make my worst nightmare. They are making hard Mountain Dew.
Yeah, they are. Fucking. Oh, boy.
Ew. Ew, ew. Ew, ew.
Gaming has never, ever, ever, ew. Ever, ever been this bad.
So, do you like Mountain Dew?
I don't hate it.
Do you go for it in the store? Did you used to growing up?
I'm not a big soda person. So it actually reminds me of my uncle. Before he passed away, his text message thing was, I'm all hopped up on Mountain Dew. And he would get texts all the time. I don't understand why anybody would ever download that, but that's what it reminds me of. Yeah, it's a fun little thing. But according to bostonbeer.com, just released today, the Boston Beer Company and PepsiCo have announced plans to enter a business collaboration to produce hard Mountain Dew alcoholic beverage. The partnership unites Boston Beer's world-class innovation and expertise in alcohol beverages with one of PepsiCo's most iconic and beloved brands.
Just stay at Taco Bell and keep it at the fucking cantina. I don't need you on the shelf of my Publix with alcohol in it. I don't fucking need it.
I like the quotes of like two of the actual industry professionals. We know that adult drinkers' tastes are evolving and they are looking for new and exciting flavorful beverages. The combination of our experience in brewing and developing the best tasting hard seltzers and hard teas and Mountain Dew, a one-of-a-kind multi-billion-dollar brand, will deliver excitement and refreshment that drinkers know and love, says Dave Berwick, Boston Beer Co.'s CEO.
There is no motherfucking way he said that with a straight face. He had to have sent that in an email
as a quote
because there's no way he could say that looking someone dead in the eye.
I just love the corporate responses too, because on the PepsiCo side, you have like, for 80 years, Mountain Dew has challenged the status quo, bringing bold flavors
of trash.
I'm trying to sound professional here. Bringing bold flavors and unmatched beverage innovation to millions of fans. I'm assuming Kirk Turner is some sort of descent. PepsiCo's Beverages of North American CEO. The Boston Beer Company partnership combines two recognized leaders in our respective industries to address the changing tastes of drinkers, and we are thrilled to at the opportunity to create hard Mountain Dew that maintains the bold citrus flavor fans know and expect.
Is Mountain Dew even a citrus flavor? If you asked me what does Mountain Dew taste like, it'd be like a white monster. I would have no idea what flavor.
So I think there are very few substances that taste like a color, and that is one of them. Like blue raspberry tastes like blue.
You go for Gatorade and you're like, I'll take the red one.
Yeah.
You're
like, or like Gatorade, blue. Perfect example. Glacier Freeze is not a flavor, but you get it. And so Mountain Dew just tastes like lime dangerous green. I've actually, you know what?
Yeah.
This is going to be a little side note. I've made this comment before of like, if you were to go back and travel to like the Middle Ages and take something with you to freak them the fuck out, just take like Mountain Dew and Cheetos.
You would be hung because you'd be a witch because it would be that color and it would throw them off.
You would literally hand them Mountain Dew and they'd be like, I'm not fucking drinking that. What the fuck is that? Like, that's not natural. Like, what is that?
Witch!
Well, she doesn't weigh as much as a duck, so we have to burn her. So, yeah. Look out for that coming up soon. That's according to bostonbeer.com. They will have, it's zero sugar, 5% ABV.
Oh,
they'll have,
really?
Yeah.
It's zero sugar?
Zero sugar, according to the Ed Harvey style, affliction style cans that they're coming out with them. The one with the eagle on it, with its talons spread wide, is the regular Mountain Dew flavor. The one with the, I think it's a bear or like a sad tiger, is the black cherry. And the one with the black mamba snaky thing is watermelon. So I'm going to try it because
I haven't seen the
fun.
Cans. And now you just describe. Now I'm just picturing Ed Hardy.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, you said Guy Harvey. So I was picturing.
Did I say Guy Harvey?
Yeah. So I was picturing fishing shit.
Oh, I meant Ed Harvey. Oh, man. Fishing
for. So it threw me the fuck off when you started describing that.
Oh, like, fishing for bears.
I'm like, weird move, Mountain Dew. Weird move.
Okay. So speaking of which, I do want to segue into another thing that's been making the rounds in the beer world. So soda flavored shit.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, can we just point out, like, everyone are kids. Like, everyone's just a kid. Yeah. Like, you're buying alcohol to drink that tastes like something that you, like, had as a kid.
Some nostalgia involved. That's it. Yeah.
Like, that's why we had hard soda.
Yeah.
That's why we had Not Your Father's Root Beer. That's why we now have hard Mountain fucking Dew, because you deserve this, you fucking people.
And what are we going to drink when we're watching NASCAR? I get
True
it.
That. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we won't drink. That's a story coming up later. That's a teaser. But, speaking of the things that just, like, it's the weird way that the industry is kind of catering towards these kind of crossovers between sodas and juices and pastries and blah, blah, blah. So have you heard about the Bourbon County release?
I only saw that another one was coming out. I don't know what it is.
So they come out every year and, you know, nothing against Goose Island. They were acquired by InBev. It's one of those companies. We've talked about our opinions on that before. We're not going to go on our soapbox or do any of that.
I think we even opened one of our first episodes, I think, actually.
Yeah, it sounds about right. So we won't go into like that whole thing as far as why you should or shouldn't do anything as far as supporting them goes. But according to USA Today, Bourbon County often releases its kind of itinerary of different beers it's going to release. And this year they're doing a cola-inspired Bourbon County.
I hate cola. I hate cola.
Okay, I'm really curious because I think geographically speaking, everyone has a different idea as far as what cola is. Mm-hmm. So you being from like New England-ish area, right? Mm-hmm. What is cola to you?
Cola, so I automatically go to like RC and Coca-Cola, but I go to like McDonald's Coca-Cola because that's real Coca-Cola. You know, they like actually... factually have the best product Coca-Cola out of anywhere, even like bottled Coca-Cola. They have like the best concentrate.
Sorry. I don't think I've ever heard the words Coca-Cola said so many times within 30 seconds.
I could say it at least seven more times.
It's a hard
I could turn this into a drinking game if you really want. So
at home, if you hear Coca-Cola, yeah, you're going to be dead by the end of this. No, but Bourbon County, so they're doing a Coca-Cola inspired.
Just totally bypassing.
Yeah, don't drink every time we say Coca-Cola. You will die. No, but it's funny because the people who buy Bourbon County are the ones who go, oh, yeah, InBev Bottom, but who cares? They're still great. It's like the original OG barrel aged stuff. So even half of them are starting to go, because they even talked about doing a Bourbon County seltzer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
are they declining that much in sales and people giving a shit that they're having to go to these like extreme measures to like completely change what they've been doing?
I don't know, but what I feel like is happening is somebody sitting in an office somewhere going like, bro, what if we did?
But who gave them power to like then implement those ideas?
That's why they're monsters. That's why they're monsters. I've been saying this since this is what, episode 45? You heard me on episode 1. I've been telling you the whole time. The British are coming. Anyway, Bourbon County Stout, which typically sells for $13 or more, is usually the most easily found.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Well. Huh. Per bottle, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought they were
more. But it's like a little 12-ounce bottle.
I know, but everyone just loses their fucking minds over them, so I just assumed that they were more. I don't know.
So I guess they try to do it a little bit better. They used ingredients such as lime, orange zest, orange juice, coriander, cassia bark, nutmeg, brown sugar, and vanilla to create the Coca-Cola character.
It was lye, not lime.
Nah, man. They probably just sorbeted that shit through a bunch of Coca-Cola syrup in it. Let's be honest.
So you think cola is Coca-Cola, right? You asked me, but like, what else would it fucking be? No, but like, what else would it be?
Honestly,
it's obviously Coca-Cola.
Like down in the South, it was just Coke or Pepsi. And people are weirdly against one or the other.
Yeah, because Pepsi's disgusting.
Yeah. Would you like blue sugar water or red sugar water? And everyone's like, I don't drink the red.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Well, I'm glad we figured that out. And I will not be buying that, but let us know if you do.
Yo, if you show up with a bottle,
if you show up, we'll try it.
I don't mean to sound opportunistic, but like totes give me a symbol of it.
But, I mean, you didn't make it, so I don't feel bad by saying, like, I hate it once I try it.
I mean, I do have some barrels back there right now full of stuff that we could just fuck up by putting Coca-Cola stuff in it.
Not wrong.
Yeah. Well, if you guys out there buy it, I'll do it. Whatever.
All right.
What do you got?
So we talked about Athletic Brewing, the last news episode. They are making headlines again on Brewbound with their gym and taproom combo pop-up in Austin. I think this is a super cute concept. I could definitely get behind. I'd love to see more kind of intramural things get back, you know, started again, of course, but even just more to do with the craft beer industry as a whole and the consumers. We're not exactly the beacon of health and wellness.
No.
So, y'all.
No, and like at least one of you listening right now goes, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like fucked up to say that I think we could just do better. So it's really cool that they are, you know, obviously we talked about they do their non-alcoholic and stuff, but they're like really trying to implement more unique healthy lifestyle choices and stuff. So that's pretty cool. So interested to see what those pop-ups look like and if that's something that, you know, other places and breweries can do.
I actually really like that idea because I would probably join that gym.
Mm-hmm.
To where you just go and like, that's a big thing of it too, is like, you know, with the social interaction of things, especially with a bar, beer and crap beer and all that kind of thing, like that is a big key component, especially with the gym. Like a lot of people will make a decision based on, oh, it's just a bunch of meatheads and I don't feel like talking to them.
Yeah.
Or, oh, it's just a, you know, it's like a weird, just kind of not very motivational place. But if it's got a really cool environment for both sides of it, I think it would do really well.
Like if you walked in and you saw like four guys doing the sitting on the keg, doing that rolly thing as like an ab workout, you'd be like, oh my fucking God, I'm home.
Yeah, I'd be like, yo, this is my place. Yo, speaking of cutting out beer, did you hear that Molson Coors is retiring 11 beers?
No.
Yeah.
Like, what? I didn't even know how many beers, like...
It's funny that it's making news now because they're just like, oh no, all these big giant pillars of the beer industry are about to fall. They're going to stop making these 11 beers.
No, that just shows they were stupid and had too many fucking brands on their portfolio to start.
So before you got here today and I read this article, I tried to go find some of them.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
Because they just deleted them from the planet?
Well, no, because no one fucking drinks these things, man. So running through, you tell me the last time you've seen and or had any of these things,
or
right?
Just heard of it, probably.
Yeah. Okay. So we have High Life Light.
Okay. Yeah.
Not regular High Life, but High Life Light. We have Milwaukee's Best Premium.
No.
We have Henry Weinhold's Private Reserve.
I don't know what that is.
Exactly. We have Keystone Ice.
Oh,
Keystone's still going to be around. So
I
Stone
know, but
can
Keystone
still...
Ice, we fucked that up in college.
You fucking would. Yeah, Stone's like, going to sue your liver for even having it pass through him. Ham's Special Light.
No.
Key Lightful?
No.
Did I read that right?
I don't know what that is.
Ice House Edge.
No.
Magnum, which is either a condom or a model look, depending on who you talk to. So... Mickey's Mickey's Ice. Have you ever seen? I've seen Mickey's. I've seen fucking High Life. I've seen Keystone. I've never seen any of these weird offshoots of them.
So when someone just says ice, does that just automatically mean like lighter?
It means lighter, but also higher ABV.
Oh,
so they use like I don't know if they always do, but it was like denoting this whole freeze distillation kind of thing. You also have Steel Reserve Triple Export, which don't put
export. Did you know that? I did not know.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway.
Nerd. Old English HG 800.
What the fuck? Well, that sounds like a experimental hop or something. Not like.
It actually does.
Right.
Yeah, now with Citra Galaxy and HG 800.
Right?
You're not wrong. So yeah, I wish I had some Boys to Men to play them out and be like, how do I, kind of thing. But yeah, you'll never see those again.
We can make a PowerPoint presentation with that candle flickering and then just like the memorial of all the brands that we never gave a fuck about that are no longer going to exist.
If we can find them, that's the problem.
Oh, I bet you there's someone in that has a stockpile of all of these in their basement just in case this ever happened because that's their favorite beer. Like, I know plenty of old ass German men that have, what's that fucking beer called? St. Pauli's Girl, right?
Yeah, but that's still made.
I know that, but like in their brains, they're like, this one day I could wake up tomorrow and this might not be here. So. Better fucking save it to the end of the world.
Which all I'm saying is maybe try some other beers because if you're worried about your favorite thing going away, maybe you're a dying breed.
No, I literally could picture this old man in Pennsylvania who has probably...
Are you grabbing your belly while doing
I'm not. I'm stretching. You do this all the time and I'm just stretching and he calls me the fuck out. Y'all can't even see me. Fuck you, Chris. Whatever.
I just figured that was your impression of an old ass German man. Just grabbing my belly, talking
about
my... His
name is Heinz, actually. And then his wife, if you sneezed more than twice, she'd go, I bless you too much. And then she wouldn't say, I bless you anymore. Bless you too much.
It's a general rule. Anyway. You always get two. So I guess the last one I have is, what is your best hold my beer story?
I guess just this really fucking sketchy cliff diving in Pennsylvania that it took me like 5 hours to finally, I just had to just everyone just kept trying to get me to do it. And I finally just handed my beer off and just took off and just did it without telling anyone because I just couldn't or else I wouldn't have. So that's it. What's yours?
Oh, mine? Probably falling 2.5 stories out of a tree because somebody bet me I couldn't climb it and I grabbed a dead limb. I was doing great until that.
So what broke?
I don't know. I actually made it out pretty good. I felt like I got hit by a truck.
So
like
you could fucking do the belly scratching thing as we're talking, but I can't.
What are you talking about? I'm not even doing, they can't see me doing this and I can lie to them. I can lie. No. So, and the reason why I ask is like Newsweek wrote this article about a guy who, it was a hold my beer story.
Okay.
And it's a around noon on Sunday at Nauset Beach, located near the town of Orleans in Massachusetts. Matt P., 25 years old, was fishing alongside friends and family who were drinking beers and playing cornhole on the beach. However, during the middle of the cornhole game on Sunday, Matt P. noticed something behind his opponent in the water and saw that the fishing rod had been moving and bending. Hey. No, he realized that he had caught a great white shark.
Oh my God.
So he literally looks over to his friend and goes, hold my beer while I go try to reel in a great white shark.
I mean, I hope that's on his tombstone when he passes away at a very old age in his sleep peacefully.
Yeah, Matt P. Peaking at 25. You'll never do anything cooler. So the line broke and the shark took off. And so as far as he was concerned, it just went into the depths of the water, I guess.
I hope he chugged a beer after that.
I feel like I'd have the shakes.
That's why I would need to chug a beer after
that. No, I saw the video too. Really? It's literally like 20 feet that way.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, I think maybe we should once in a while ask our listeners for their hold my beer stories. Those would be pretty fun.
That'd be a fun little segment.
Right?
If you guys would ever respond. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, maybe after a month off, we'll ask him to do something again. So I have just one last one that I'm just curious on Chris's point of view on this one, because it's, you know, definitely just something that, you know, just leave everyone kind of thinking for a second, you know, what your opinion is. So evidently, a recent poll said 75% of Americans want nutritional labels on alcoholic beverages. You know, as a brewer and as a business owner, how do you feel about this? You know, all my friends always joke about me being a macro freak, harassing me about, well, I harass them about the shit products they consume, aka Charlie drinking her full sugar fucking Coca-Cola energy drinks. And they're like 56 grams of sugar. Anyway. I mean, this turned into like a 20-minute roasting session at my bachelorette, because this is just something that I genuinely like doing because I think it's important, because you don't have to cut things out. You just have to be aware of just what you're drinking, you're eating. Less is more. So you're into fitness, macroly. I know you care. Business-wise, how do you feel about this?
So I think it's kind of a Pandora's box, to be honest, because let's be honest. Like right now, beer's in this weird realm where, you know, if you look at seltzers or not even seltzers, but if you look at like ciders or wine or those kind of things, like a lot of times they'll go through the nutrition facts. They'll go through that aspect of things. Beer falls off that radar. We're not legally obligated to supply that information. We can. And a lot of like larger breweries have.
Yep.
And a lot of times too, it's a huge selling point for a lot of larger breweries. So if they're doing like Bud Light, or if they're doing like, you know, any sort of like targeted towards a specific health conscious demographic, they're going to advertise everything based off the calorie content. Mm-hmm. Now, inherently, alcohol has calories. So it's, you know, no matter what the ABV is, linearly speaking, it will have X amount of calories. You know what I mean?
I think people maybe, well, I'm just assuming, honestly, I think people care more sugar and carbs than calories.
So that's the big thing that you start getting into is, you really have to put a lot of trust in the consumer to understand calories versus sugar versus carbs versus like what types of calories they're getting out of the beverage. And a lot of times it can be a little dicey. On a side note, I think if people really fully knew what sort of calorie content they were drinking with certain beers, they'd be terrified.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think there are two avenues down that. One, it's either out of sight, out of mind, and people understand that by getting into drinking certain types of, you know, craft or independent beer, or they just don't know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you look at some sort of like fruited smoothie, milkshake, sour kind of thing. Yes, it is ridiculously sweet. And yes, it is ridiculously fruity. That is because there is a fuck ton of calories in that.
Yeah.
That is because there is a lot of vanilla and lactose and sugar and fruit sugars and all these different things, to where the usual 5% ABV beer, if it's just malt attenuated out to a standard degree, could be anywhere from 100 to 130 calories. This thing could also be upwards to 200 to 300 calories per 12-ounce serving. Hmm. You might know that and disregard it and just kind of not think about it, which we all do.
Yeah.
Or you may not know that. Same thing with like these giant, like, you know, crazy ass pastry stouts, where, you know, if you're looking at a 12-ounce serving of something that's 13%, you know, and it stops at like 20 fucking Play-Doh or 15 or whatever you want to look at, like, that is easily a 350 to 600 calorie serving.
Oh my God.
And either people don't know that or they don't care.
Wow.
Because it's something they're willing to suspend their belief in or whatever. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think putting an emphasis on, you know, educating people if they want that information, great. Mm-hmm. I don't know if making it mandatory, unless there's some sort of food safety issue, then maybe that's a route we go to. I honestly think it would fucking shoot beer sales of certain styles in the foot if they had to put a calorie content on the actual.
It might make the consumers slightly healthier, mm-hmm, too.
Yeah.
You know, if we get to a point where, as businesses, we have to be like, okay, you know, business aside, like, our consumers need some help, like, you know, which I don't think we're there right now. Don't get me twisted. But yeah, I mean, we really could get to that point. I mean, the dramatic increase of obesity in America just in like 10 years. And like, yeah, in our industry, I think it's, you know, a pretty big fucking deal.
I think if, you know, if you're going out and you're having a few lagers, just like standard whatever.
Yeah.
You're probably looking about like, say, 2 to 3 beers. You're probably looking about 400 calories collectively. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're going to a bottle share, I guarantee you, you are downing at least 1,000 calories, even if you're being modest.
Which that's like going to a buffet or something like that. You know, it's like everything. It's like, do that once or twice a week. You know, it's like anything could be unhealthy like that. You could drink those sugary ass iced coffees every morning, and that could equate to probably 600 calories. Or those damn fruit smoothies that everyone tries to convince everyone are super good for you. You know, it's like, I know, I have a bug up my ass about these.
It's all good. I think at the end of the day, it's up to you as the consumer. If you're listening to this right now and you either know and don't care, or you don't know, mm-hmm, look into it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing, is you need to decide for yourself whether or not, like, I'm sorry, not to go on some sort of political rant or whatever. It shouldn't be the government's choice to tell you that you shouldn't drink something.
Yep.
So like, you should do the research. Yeah. You should find out. Like, I used to have a couple High Lies every day. Now I don't, because like, and this was like years and years and years ago, but like, if I do the math of 2 to 3 High Lies a day,
I think I remember these years actually.
Yeah. If I do that math, that's like easily 500 to 700 calories a day that I don't fucking need.
Yeah.
So, it's just kind of up to the consumer, really. So, you know, do your research. If it is something you care about, you know, ask around. And if it's like, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, having the stigma of the consumer asking and having the breweries being able to like offer that information be lifted a little bit.
How many people would have to come in here asking for the nutritional value to be on your cans for you to like add them? Like, I mean,
I'd say like 1 in 6, 1 in 10-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, like, I mean, again, it the industry is the way it is. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm just saying that right now, it's not standard to put that on there. So most people either don't care about it, or don't think about it, or don't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's an issue that we run into to where people don't know about it, educating people could have a lot of detrimental effects to a lot of brands who have built their success on these big ass imperial stouts, or big ass sours, or these big ass crazy hazy IPAs. Like, if you look at a double hazy, yeah, they're fucking delicious, but you're probably putting back like 350 calories per serving.
And I think that's great to put out there too, because I don't think people are really computing what the double and triple IPAs are doing. Yeah. You know, I don't think people are associating them with being kind of similar to like a sour or some kind of lower sugar stout.
And then that's another thing too, is not every brewery is making them the same way. So yeah. like you might have one brewery that loads it up and makes it super sweet and yep. has it finishing around like, I don't know, like 12 to 15 Play-Doh. And then all of a sudden it's like still super sticky sweet with the high alcohol content with those calories associated with that. Whereas you might have another one that like actually dries it out a little bit. So there, it's not a linear thing. And not to sound like, you know, Scrooge McDucky or anything too, but like it would be very detrimental for us to put calorie contents on certain beers.
Yeah.
Like if you drink like a fucking chocolate lava cake imperial stout that we made, it's 13% and it tastes like molasses. Yes. Like this is not celery. You're not going to lose calories by drinking this. So, I mean, at a certain point, it's up to like self-policing too.
Yeah,
so, I don't
absolutely.
Know. It's a weird realm.
You're going to eat that candy bar and you know what the fuck is in it. Why would you assume that? I don't know.
It's the same thing
you
with soda.
It.
Like people yeah. drink sodas all the time. Do you think like, would they feel bad if they saw like a mental ticker above their head going, click 50 calories, click 50 calories, click 50 calories?
Yeah.
Probably, but they don't think about it. Yep. You know what I mean?
Nope. So. I think it's a very good point. And I just thought that was pretty high percentage of people. I thought that was like 75%. Well, shit. I would expect to be like 45% looking at most tasting rooms. People, you know, not really caring.
Yeah. I'd be curious too to see if that's something that they want to see on beer that, like, say maybe they're buying at a grocery store versus like a night out. Like yeah. if I'm sitting and getting dinner.
That's a good point.
I'd be willing to be like, all right, well, I'm already getting dinner.
Packaged or...
Yeah. Or even then too, like, I know I'm getting, I don't know, some sort of ridiculous meal that I'm not going to make the same way myself at home, but that's why I'm out here doing this, enjoying the meal with so-and-so. Yeah, I'll put on an extra 200, 300 calories on a drink or whatever.
Yeah.
Versus if I'm going and I'm getting something for the house to just like hang out with some friends and play board games or whatever, then yeah, I'm probably going to go ahead and get something a lot lighter, a lot more, you know, cost-effective in the calorie realm. So
definitely.
But well, I don't know.
Well, now we know.
There you go.
The more you know, guys.
The last one I had, even though I said that was the last one the last time, I found an article from the Miami New Times. Something about a female brew fest. You know anything about that?
I do know a little something
about
that.
Well, give us the lowdown, girl.
Well, now that you're putting me on the spot and I don't remember the date, I
oh,
think
shit,
it's the
I just
28th.
Canceled it out.
And I think it's September 18th. Yeah, it's September 18th. Okay. You're lucky I had it in my calendar real quick there,
boom.
Chris.
That's how you know she's prepared.
So it is in Fort Lauderdale. If you follow me on Instagram, I put the swipe up to the tickets like every other day. It's this awesome, awesome beer fest that Pink Boots members throw. Here, let me pull up. Female. So if you want to search Female Brew Fest on Instagram, excuse me, it's a pioneering craft beer festival in the country highlighting women in beer, outdoor, open air, pet friendly event. Tickets on sale now. So I haven't gone yet. Obviously, last year was canceled. Year before that, I heard was a raging success. A lot of great breweries go. Most, you know, the breweries will have a female come down and pour, and it's just a bad bitch fest, pretty much. But it's not something that only women are going to. It's not like that at all, especially this year. Like, I think, you know, Allie is bringing Tyler from Angry Chair and shit like that. So highly recommend checking that out. We're all going. Obviously, Tactical's pouring. I'm not sure what we're pouring yet, but we're pouring.
Still trying to figure that out.
We'll figure that out soon and let you guys know. But yeah, I'm really excited for it. It's going to be really fun. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I've got. Is that about all you got?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Sweet. I'm going to drink some more Wainbows.
I'm going to drink some more Wainbows.
Okay, you got to go by.
Will Beaver.
Dead. Dead.